You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's not brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good and perfect gift comes from the Father who I... Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another broadcast on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Amen. This is real life, real men, real talk. And we're going to talk about a couple of things. Just wait for a couple of brothers to come on. We're keeping it real. Amen. We are so glad. It's been about a month now since we've all been here together. So I'm so excited. I am having some technical difficulties on my pod. Go figure, right? And everything. But it's all good. I hope you guys can, hope everyone can hear me clearly. Amen. Who's with me so far?
Cleo.
Oh, Brother Cleo. Hey, man. Long time no see. No, just kidding.
I know, right? How are you?
I am fine, sir. I'm doing okay. Can you hear me okay? Or is that, I hate using my cell phone because it seems like I'm in a tunnel somewhere, you know?
No, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started, man. I really didn't have anything. I just want to touch bases with the brothers, you know. I know everybody's schedule is somewhat crazy. Got a lot of things. The holidays coming up. You know, let us know. It's supposed to be coming soon. I think it's coming to Maryland, I think. I'm not sure. But just so much stuff is going on.
Huh? Don't call for no snow.
Yeah, I don't even know whether the game, the Cowboys are winning. Are they winning? Are you watching the game?
I just turned it off. They're up by a touchdown.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a good thing, you know. That'll make me feel better.
I guess so.
Yeah. Somebody needs to feel good, right? Yeah, somebody needs to feel good, man. Y'all got a rough game tonight. I mean, tomorrow night. So.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, you know. Be interesting. Okay, so let me just go ahead. Again, this is real life, real men. Real talk, and I think the last time we were together, we talked about fathers, I believe. But I want to remind everybody about History by the Grace. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m., declaring to finish work with Reverend Pat Randall. A lot of these times have changed. I think it's the first and the second Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy is at 7 p.m. That's every first, second, and fourth Friday. The Bread of Life is the first and third Sunday. Challenge to Change is every Wednesday, I believe, at 7 p.m. Monthly broadcast is a follow. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bird of Beautiful with the Reverend Norina Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month. Amen. At 7 p.m. Match Take of the Bottle of Wonder, Reverend Eric and Reverend Timothy Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Of course, all three real life, real men, real talk. Amen. It's every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. That's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is free conference call number. The number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. And Matters of the Heart Singing Ministries is every third Friday at 7 p.m. Spiritual Nuggets of Truth is every second and fourth Monday at 8 p.m. Now, I want to talk about Matters of the Heart because this week, this Friday, we're supposed to bring on a guest, and I'm excited about having her on. That's what I got on the schedule. And her name is Dana Else. And she's going to talk a little bit about finances, protecting our families, our family's legacy, and that kind of thing. So no matter how we try to address all issues, all things concerning being single. So she's going to come on and talk about that. And she's going to, this one right here is going to be a Zoom call, amen, so she can show you some slides and do some good things, help people get out of debt, whatever need to be done, she's going to do that. So that particular broadcast, which is next Friday from Madison of the Heart, will be a Zoom call, amen, amen. Okay, so with that being said, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father God, we come today first to give you thanks, God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your many blessings, God. Thank you for how far that you have brought us, God. When we look back over our life, truly it was nobody but you that did it, God. We give you honor. We give you grace. We thank you, God, for seeing another Sunday, God. Seeing another Sunday, God, going to in November, going towards the end of the year, God. We look back over the whole year. And it's truly, again, nobody that you would have brought it. So we give this broadcast to you, God. We pray that it be a blessing for those that are listening, God. We pray that it would prick someone's heart so that someone would even cry out, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to change my life around? We thank you for these brothers, God. These brothers, a few good brothers, God, that are willing to share, God, their word that you have given them, that are willing to be bold and that is willing to be transparent about the things that you give them. So, God, we pray that you will bless them and bless them indeed. In Christ Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.
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 Amen. I think Brother Elson's with us, too. So, man, can I say, brothers, I'm so glad to have you on. I'm waiting for a couple more other brothers to come on, but we're going to go forward. You know, we'll go forward. Amen. Amen. And first, I want to
What's happening, Brother Elson?
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah.
I watch you.
So how's everybody doing?
Good.
Okay. So, Elson, do you have the score?
Huh?
Never mind, man. I just like nothing.
What he said?
I know you're not watching the game, right?
No, I'm not. I'm tuned in. I'm giving you my undivided attention, sir.
Really? Oh, good. Because I want to talk some football before we get started. But it's okay.
Okay. It's good, all right.
Because you know what's gonna happen.
I have no comments about the Washington Commanders. That's all.
All right, fine. You won't talk football. It's just me anyway. So, anyway. Go ahead.
Oh, because of Dallas? Okay.
Huh?
Nothing on mine.
Are you talking to someone else?
No, I'm talking to you.
Oh. Well, Dallas
Never mind.
Is playing.
Go ahead. What you got?
You know, so last time we got together, we talked about fathers, and, you know, we're coming towards the end of the year, and Thanksgiving is about a couple of weeks from now. So basically what I want, it's nothing major, but I wanted to talk about, us to talk about what we are thankful for, you know, in advance as we go into the Thanksgiving, you know, and we know that many of us, I know I can only speak for myself, God, I have so much to be thankful for in my life, and even in the places that is my, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word. It'll come back to me. Even in places that I may not be content in, but I'm okay, you know. Always wanted to do better. Always wanted to be better when it comes to my relationship with Christ. And always pressing forward and trying to find my, not trying, but spending more time with him as much as possible and stuff like that. Because sometimes we can get extremely busy. And for me personally right now, things are really, really busy. We're trying to do several things with the shows, with the broadcast, and working from home. It's like my plate is full, but I still got to have to be able to set time aside for Jesus Christ because he's my Lord and he's my Savior. And also do ministry, you know. People, we get calls sometimes of people that need prayer or need to be ministered to. So we have to be open in those areas. But some of the things that I'm thankful for is just being here, you know. As many as you know, many years ago, there was a major thing that took place in my body, and they didn't, you know, there was some questions whether I would live or whatever. But I'm still here, you know. I'm still here. I've lost quite a few people that I consider to be family this year. There was a couple that was in Maryland that was under their leadership both the husband and the wife passed away. They both was pastors to me as a man. And the husband was more of a mentor to me than the one that I've had in a long time. And they both, they're gone, you know. But they poured into so many other life, including mine, and I'm grateful for that, you know, for having the opportunity to get to know them. I'm thankful for what they poured into my life, because when I was with them, I was, it was crazy, man. I was not good, you know. I was not good. I think I was a little arrogant and just thought I knew everything, and they kept me, they put me in check, you know. They put me in check. So I'm grateful for God, for them being in my life and sharpening my iron, you know. I'm also grateful for and thankful for my family, you know, and things that they're doing, the calling and my friends, especially the men with, on this particular broadcast, because I know that this takes time out of your day, you know, just to do this. Even though it's once a month, it still takes time. And that 1 hour is still a lot, you know. So I'm grateful for that and everything. That's much more, but I want to give somebody else a chance to say something. Amen. Anybody?
Go ahead, Brother Alpha.
Anybody?
Go ahead, sir.
Y'all gonna make me start singing.
That is, well, I better start talking. I'm very thankful for, you know, what has transpired throughout the year. I started to hear all new words that the Spirit of God had given this year, capacity, and it has absolutely, I mean, it's, God is just absolutely with how many things that I have seen relative to what you told me last year. Just growing, just, you know, having the ability to grow, just as you just said, Brother Ray, spending more time with him and his word, getting to know him, and, you know, I'm thankful that my family is whole and healthy, and I'm sick and defeated, and I spent some time with a cousin of mine on Saturday, and just to see his progress a year ago, and he had a heart transplant, and to see his progress over the space of a year. You don't think about stuff like that. That's not normal. It probably more is today than it was years ago. Man, to see that, you know, thriving, still going out and working, he wants to work, and just so there's so much to be thankful for. So many things to be thankful for. And the things that you know, both personally, emotionally, spiritually. Thankful for, yeah, that I have a gainful employment. And just, yeah, again, so many things to be thankful for. But just thankful, most importantly, thankful for God and direction that he has, doors that are opening up. And to see the hand of God move in your life, it builds your faith even to another level. Doesn't make you invincible, but certainly makes you feel, you know, that what the word says, God is for. And God before you, who can be against you? He's more than the whole world against you. And I'll stop there.
Amen.
We're still here.
Okay. Amen. Just in awe and how awesome God is, and how his grace and his mercy, his undeserved grace and undeserved mercy that he shows me daily, even when I mess up, that he doesn't pay me for what my sins deserves. And I'm so grateful that he uses me to speak to his people. Grateful that that even when I mess up that he doesn't throw me away. He says, no, I'm not done with you. I'm not giving up on you. And the unconditional love that he shows me is sometimes is overwhelming, and just how far he has brought me and my family, and just him teaching me and showing me things. I'm just so grateful to him. Yeah, I've lost some friends this year, and just hurts me to my heart. But then knowing that, that they are doing better than we are, but continuing to trust in God and for his protection, not just for me and my family, and knowing that that he is good and his grace endureth forever. Amen.
Did we lose Brother Rick?
I guess we did, because that's why I say hello.
I'm right here.
There?
Yes, I am. I'm here. I'm trying to get a deep look at, but I'm here. Huh?
So you must have hit that mute button.
I think I did something, right? Because I'm talking up a storm. And I'm like, what do you mean you can't hear me? I'm talking up a storm to Elsa and say, is Ray there? Did we lose you? Anyway, but like I said, man, I'm listening to both of you guys. And like I said, when all the things that have gone on, and it's not just this year. I mean, over the years, that God just continued to keep us, over the years and our families. And there's one thing that's going to take place. If you live long enough in this life, you're going to go on to God's going to definitely call you home or call you and stuff and everything. So it's just more of a thing of just being realizing that and just not trying to take every day for granted and everything, but just give thanks to God, do the work that he's called you to do, being faithful and everything, and just being with family, and stuff like that, or communicating with them and everything, So, I mean, there's so much things to be thankful and grateful to and stuff like that. And like I said, I'm not going to go back over what we just said, but I do want to get reiterate the importance of what it is that we do as far as ministry. All of us do ministry in some form or another, whether it's maturity or whether it's pastoring, that kind of thing. All of us do ministry. And as we all know, ministry is not always easy. I will get a pastor's perspective what it's like to be a pastor in a minute, Reverend Elston, and stuff. So, I mean, it's not always easy, Everything don't always go the way that you have to. I don't know, you tell me, Elston, you have to be flexible or do you have to be, just to take whatever comes and say, okay, God, you got it. How do you respond as far as being a pastor, being in leadership? You too, Cleophas. Let me get Elston first.
Well, I think with me, and it's funny, I was just talking to my wife when we had lunch today, just saying that I got to get to a point where when I deal with issues, not just my issues, but issues from the church, whether it's a illness or poverty, which is more illness, is that I will go before God and leave it with God and not try to take ownership of it, if that makes sense. So, I always pray that his kingdom come, his will be done. I always believe that God's will is for us to be healed. I believe that's his will. So when I pray that and I believe and I'm touching and agreeing with them And when it doesn't come to pass, then I don't fall into a pity party of saying, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Because at the end of the day, it's all in God's hand. So what that helps me do is keeps me humble and saying, okay, it's not God. I mean, it's not me. It's God. I did what God instructed me to do. You know, he says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And he says that, you know, call the elders of the church and they pray the prayer of faith. I pray the prayer of faith. So I'm doing everything that his constitution, his laws, his commandments have told me to do. His royal contract said to do this, and this is what he said he's going to do. So if I do that and it doesn't come to pass, it's not on me. It's on him.
Right.
And so what that does, what it keeps me from falling into depression. It keeps me from saying, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? And also when God does move, it also keeps me humble and say, look at God and not look at what I did. So with everything I do, I just make sure that I say, okay, God, I'm doing what you told me to do. It's on you. I'm doing, I'm believing, I'm trusting. If it doesn't work, then it's on you. And when people ask, well, what happened? I just said, well, I don't know. You got to talk to God about that because I did what he told me to do. So when it comes to issues, I just really try to reflect it back to God. I said, cast your cares, cast your burden. It's a burden for me to want people to be well. It's a burden for me for people to walk in and to be in health. That's a burden for me. But if it doesn't come to play, that I don't take ownership of it, that I make sure that I'm not the God. I'm not their God. That they look at our Heavenly Father and they ask them, and me knowing that, okay, you're not God. You know, even though he's in you, but you're not God, at the end of the day, he has the last say so. So that helps me. And it's funny, I was just talking about today. It helps me. Because of the times when I will fall into depression, I'll get mad. I get mad at God. I get upset. I figure, what am I doing wrong? I'm not praying enough. I'm not believing enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not doing this enough. It's like I'm just not. And then it got to the point, when is enough, God? When do I qualify? When do I do it? When do I do it? And they realize, like, man, you try to be God. Mm-hmm. You try to make this thing work with your works. I need you to chill out. I need you to chill and just trust me and know that I know what I'm doing. And I said, okay, well, that's it. Amen. Praise God. So that's how I deal with it, Brother Ray. That's how I deal with it. I just let God be God and me get out the way.
Amen. Brother Cleofa?
I agree with Tom. That's it. Just when you call to ask all the people of ministry, a lot of times in the workplace as well, I'm working alongside God and doing what he called me to do, but I have to understand whomever he set under me or given to listen to me, those are his people. Those are my people. Those are his people. Mm-hmm. I remember those leaning on Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit to minister to God's people, tell God's people what God wants to say to his people, not what my opinion is or what my thought is or any of that. Led by him. And I think too often, especially when it comes to healing and deliverance and things like that, and I'm just piggybacking Elsa, just talking, probably Elsa. you sometimes can take it personal, and what you're believing for, what you're being led to do doesn't get to manifest. And the one thing I've learned is that God has already done everything that he's ever done. And when Jesus hung his head across the Calvary and said, "It is finished," everything that God sent him into this three-dimensional world to accomplish was accomplished. And so when was I healed? I was healed the moment Jesus said, "It is finished." And so sometimes we're looking, people can, or we can be looking for something audibly or physically to be displayed. And we were healed a long time ago. We were delivered. That's why, it's, to me, it's clear when Hebrews 11 and 6 says that without faith, it's impossible. Because one must first believe that he is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently. And you know, I don't know if you know, I don't know if it's praying more or believing. I just think that you have to get to a place of belief. I go to Mark 7:4, where it says that when you pray, believe that you receive. And I've been guilty of this, and I'm sure there's others, and I speak for me. I can remember praying about the same thing over and over and over. Then I read that scripture, and it says, when you pray, believe that you receive. And so when I pray about something, I believe. And I don't sit around waiting for the manifestation. I go on believing that I've already received. And in my heart, it doesn't matter whether I physically believe that I can. And I think sometimes that's where we get, that we can get off, even get to a place of almost begging. But it's important to understand people. And I tell some of my team members at work, because I serve business, that people are people. What's the epitome of sin? And I don't tell them this, but the epitome of sin is selfishness. So people are people, but selfish by nature. So we want what we want. We want it when we want it. And when we don't get it, we pout, we moan, we get upset. And even what Elsa said, sometimes we get upset with God because that thing hasn't manifested.
Yeah.
Thank God. After what Elsa said, I agree. Thank God he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. You know. So, I think it's important that when you're dealing with people, especially in the ministry, that you don't take it personal and that you understand these are God's people. God has put you in a place to shepherd or oversee and to give a message to them. That's your responsibility. If a physical miracle of healing is going to take place, then you're the vessel that God is going to use. I heard one pastor say this years ago. Plumbers use pipes, and electricians use wire, and but God uses people. And so we all are God's man. God is able to use them. Now we just have to be open to be used. And the manifestation of glory still goes to God. I don't remember exactly what scripture it is, but scripture is just one plant, one water, but God gives the increase. So, and I think if you stay in that bad posture, you know, you'll stay humble. People won't throw you off at people sometimes. Dealing with people sometimes is very tough to do sometimes. And quite frankly, dealing with Christians sometimes.
Amen. And while you was talking, I was, you said that I like the jazz. Christians and family sometimes. Christians and family, you know, and everything. Some of the, unfortunately, sometimes some of the biggest attacks come from those that are Christian, and sometimes they come from family and stuff. And I believe that you have to be steadfast in the calling that God has chosen you to do, you know, and everything. You know, it's good to talk about forsaken mother and father, you know, at times and stuff. And it's not, you know, I don't think it's trying to be respect, but our focus got to be like that, you know, when it comes to the things of Christ, especially in this day and time that we live in now. Because we see all across America, there's a division that has taken place, and some within families, whether it's political or whether it's spiritual, I mean, you know, and everything, you know. But I just, my prayer is that because God is not is not involved in any kind of division or confusion, so we know that that is the enemy and everything. And my prayer that one day we can get all past the religion. And I know it's not going to happen with everybody, but those selected few, those chosen, those called few, will get together, not based off religiosity or nothing like that, you know, not based off whether you baptize in water or whether you, you know, don't do that, but based off Christ, you know, going back to the true doctrine and the teaching of Christ, you know, based off his love that he had for us, that is not God's will for no one to perish, you know. And that's why it's always been my prayer. Elston used to say this thing, and I pray that prayer sometimes, even for myself, but also pray for others, that when you're praying or interceding for someone, you pray that God would allow their body to be healed the way that it was made to do, you know, whether it's the muscle, what it was created to do.
That's right.
Like that. The first time he did that, said that prayer, and I had never heard a prayer like that. So I'm sorry, Elston, but I attached it to my own there.
Amen.
You know what's amazing, brother? You know what's amazing, brother Gray, is you know, your arms are right, but that's always been my prayer too. But whether it's with my body or someone else's body, that it would function, operate the way the Creator would function.
Right.
Every
going
muscle
back to
operating the way it's supposed to. Every organ.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's a powerful prayer.
Yeah.
That's a prayer.
It is a problem. Yeah. And I'm not sure, Elston, how did you start it? Did you start it with your son or was that for yourself?
I don't know if it was my son or me. I just know that just knowing that if God made us in the image and likeness of him, so, and if he desires that thy kingdom come and as will be done as is already done in heaven. So my thing is, if there's no sickness in heaven, and this is Jesus saying this, no sickness in heaven, and he made us out of image, so out of his image. So I know that he's not dealing with high blood pressure or diabetes or heart failure, heart disease or cancer. He's not dealing with that. Because he made us out of his image. So since he made us out of his image, and he said that we were good, because when he made Adam, he said it was good. He was like, wow, it's good. So our bodies were made. It was already good when he made our bodies. So my whole thing is, one is not operating the way that he had created it to be, then my prayer is, okay, God, if it's not doing how you created, this is not how you, something is not right. It's not functioning the way you have created because you said it was good. And our body is actually conditioned, if treated right, to heal itself anyway. So I just said, okay, God, well, just you know, make my body or cause their body to bring it back to where you have ordained it to be, where you have made it to be, the way you have spoke it to be, you know, make it. you know, make it's already, I'm already a miracle because I made it out of my mother's womb, so I'm already a miracle. I'm already a miracle because of all the stuff that could have taken my life, but it didn't. You already a miracle, Ray. You're already a miracle. You are a living miracle because I've seen it. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've been there. I've been there. I've seen it with my own. So you already a miracle. So all we need to do when things don't line up, when things are not acting right in our bodies, God, you, hey, just make my body the way you have ordained it to be, the way you have created it to be, the way when you spoke to it, you said, let's make men out of our own image. That means you're not dealing with this issue, God. So I won't be dealing with this issue either. So,
amen.
If I'm the son and daughter, if I'm the son of the Most High God, if I'm the son, and I'm in operating in his kingdom, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is here, and he has opened up the door, the cross has made a way for me to enter to the kingdom. A king takes care of his people. A country, a good country, takes care of its people. That's why there's so many people on government assistance programs, because they take good care of the people. So if God, if the country could take care of its citizen, how would God, the king of the kingdom of heaven, take care of his citizens that abides in him? So I just say, God, just make it happen like the way you did it, the way you want it to be. That's all.
Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, I've definitely applied that to my wife. And not just like same thing, Brother Cleo, not just me, but people that I pray with. And like I try to put it in every prayer. And they say, I need you to pray for me. Okay, let's pray, you know, and everything. I try to put it in every prayer because there's a purpose. God did not make it an accident. I talk to people that are going through depression, and I even posted something on the Facebook page for those that are going through depression, you know, to remind them. And these are Christians. These are not just, I mean, some people out there probably not, but these are just people that are going through, and they need that kind of prayer, that type of prayer, or that kind of comfort, or the sharpening of their iron and everything. And like I told one person, that the enemy just wanted to try to destroy you. That's just, he's doing what he's supposed to be, you know. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. But our task, you know, as believers, you know, that even those that are strong, is to bear the infirmities of the weak, you know, and everything like that, and encourage them, to exhort them, to bring them close to Christ. Whether it's depression, whether it's sickness, whether it's disease, whether, I don't care whatever, whether it's even finances, you know, there's some things we got to admit that we bring on ourselves, you know, because God said, don't do it, and we still go ahead and do it, you know. But even in that, you know, he still loves us. And I was like, I'm going to let you, you know, you might have to go through some things, you know, but I haven't forgot about you. Because look at the times he went and got Israel. He got the Jews, got the Israelites. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, how many times? Quite a few, you know, and they continue.
Yep.
they continue to do the same thing over again. He'd put them in a place for a little bit, they'd go back and get them. You know, that's the mercies of God, you know. And that ties into what we started talking about in the beginning, being thankful, you know, for the mercy and the grace. You know, I'm gonna give it to you in a second, clear. But I don't know, man. I don't know what I, you know, when I look at the old testament, a lot of them didn't survive, man. You know, they did something, that was it. You know, they got stoned or that the earth opened up or whatever. But we don't realize how blessed we have it because of grace, and not because we're better than they are, but it's because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, man, you know. But I don't know, man, but, I mean, you know, and then we sit there and we judge them and say, well, God was providing them everything. Why did they sit there and say they want meat? He was providing them with everything, you know. But we do the same thing, maybe even worse. And God just blessed us, or he's taking us through a process, and we end up doing something, you know, that's contrary to what he said do and everything. But I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful every day. You know, I try not to have no worries. I try not. As soon as it, I tell people, as soon as it comes on me, that spirit of depression, because we're all there sometimes, whether it's circumstances, family, or whatever, and stuff, I'm like, not today. Not today. Yeah, not today, man. I said, God has just been good. Go ahead, Cleophas.
Yeah, this is good. But yeah, I just know. I have so many things to thank for, so many you know, it's amazing. It's almost funny in a sense that when you look at people in their, the happiest people that you ever meet are the people that are the most grateful people. And the most miserable people that you ever meet are the most ungrateful people. And it's something about being thankful and grateful that puts you in a position of thanksgiving, you know? And it's something to be said when you're in a position of ungratefulness or you're unthankful, that it puts you in that position that you always feel, or someone may always feel like, you know, they always get the short end of the stick, you know. And so, man, I that's why I just do be thankful to God every day. Let many blessings in me, so be a family, you know, my friends, this area of ministry. Just be grateful. Again, if you watch, people that you know and don't know, you watch them. And the ones that are the most grateful and thankful, joyous, peaceful people, you'll meet. And the ones that you always see complaining and woe is me and all that, they're not grateful and they're not thankful. And it's just something to get there. And it's a choice. You know, every day we wake up, we have a choice. You know?
Right.
Deuteronomy, God, he said, I call you to record today. I set before you life and death, blessing, curse. Choose. And then it was like an open book test. He said, choose life, that it may be well with you and with your seed. What's the choice? And you know, I guess one of the things that just, you know, you can't make me do anything. You can't. You know, what I do is what I choose to do. And so you hear people, oh, this made me do this, that made me do this, or you made me do this. Ain't nobody make you do that. That was your choice. You know, you chose to. When you're angry, guess what? You choose to be angry. When you're happy, guess what? You choose to be happy. When you trust, you choose to trust. When you don't trust, you choose not to trust. It's your choice. And again, but I don't want to be redundant, but the people that are the thankful and grateful people seem to always choose to take the high road. And those that are, and they don't live an offensive life, they don't have a life, they're not easily offended, you know? And I know people, man, you say hello to them, and you would think that you just cursed them out, you know, the way they act. And all I said was hello. But again, I understand people. I got to understand people don't understand the selfishness. Understand the selfishness. Want what we want when we want it and don't get it. It's everybody's fault, but most of our issues in life, let me speak, most of my issues in life that I've had have been self-inflicted because I had a choice and I made the wrong decision. And whatever seed you sow, you're going to reap.
Yeah, you're going to reap.
Yeah. I heard my pastor. He said, whatever you don't repair or whatever you don't fix, you're destined to repeat. So if you're going down this path as a husband and wife, and this thing is standing up, and every time you have an argument, this thing comes up, but you don't fix it, you don't repair it, you don't talk about it, you shun away from it. But every time you have an argument, this thing comes up. And I don't care what the argument is, this thing keeps coming back up. If you don't fix that, you're destined to repair. So now I challenge myself that whenever challenges come up, that I fix it. I get it completed so that I don't have to keep repeating the same thing over and over again. And that's the epitome of the thing.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Brother Cleos and Brother Elston. While you guys were talking, I was thinking about the other thing, part of that too, is, and I think we sort of talked about already, as far as being in leadership or pastoring, that kind of thing, you know, because you got in a church setting or a ministry setting, you're dealing with all kinds of people, you know, different personalities and people going through different stages in their walk with Christ and everything. And then you got yourself. and it's nothing you go through, you know, as far as leadership or pastoring and everything like that. So I guess the question would be, you know, is the and I already know the answer. I don't know what you're going to say, but I know what the answer to that, because part of being thankful is to be, to me anyway, is to also have that balance in place. And I guess my question is, how do you play a part in that balance? You know, I know that it's all about Jesus Christ, but we need to be involved with that balance. So give me some things that you do as far as balancing all that family, church, ministry, work, all of the above.
Well, I know for me, because I do work a lot. So I give my job the 5 days that they ask of me, that they pay me for. I give them 5 days. They tend to ask me to work 6 days. The beauty about my job is that I'm able to, on the sixth day, I'm able to pass that on to somebody else. So at times, I would keep those days, and I end up working 6, sometimes 7 days a week. But, you know, God's grace and mercy, He had to remind me, like, hey, you working too much. Slow down. I ain't create you to work those many days. So, and since my days off are Sunday and Monday, so since I work Tuesday through Saturday, and Sunday, you know, I'm ministering, that's work to me. That's work. So I really only have one day off, which is Monday. So I make sure that I don't double dip on Sunday or double dip on my days off from my job. Just make sure that I have at least one day where rest. Days that I'm not working, I make sure that it's my wife hanging out, and my daughter hanging out. It was just catching a movie here, or just, you know, eating dessert together, or whatever the case might be, that we're doing something. So my family understands that, you know, Tuesday through Saturday, I belong to my job, but on my days off, I belong to them. So that's what helps, and just making sure that I make time. Because you're not going to find time, but you definitely can make it. We have the power to make time. But finding time to do something, just like you said, Ray, like, you know, you appreciate us coming, because even though it's once a month, but still, you know, it's like, okay, like with my wife today, I was like, okay, we need to eat early today or eat late, because you know, I need an hour from 7 to 8 with the brothers. And so still carving that time in. She's happy. I brought some cheese home for the kids. They're happy. Everybody's happy because I'm still keeping my end of the bargain, making sure that I balance everything. And knowing that you have to work, you know, those 5 days, but, you know, I said for them to be where they are, daddy needs to work. So, you know, don't complain about me not being home those 5 days, but yet you don't complain when we go on those nice trips either. So, don't complain that I'm at work, but then don't complain when we on those cruises because we don't have to do the cruises and I can be home all the time. So yeah, that's what I do. I just make sure that I put them in. I make sure I put them in.
Mm-hmm. Brother Cleo.
Yeah, for me, it's about maintaining a balance. You know?
Yeah.
Most of being led by the Spirit. You know, put everything before God. Or just be led by God.
Right.
To have him to lead me in the way that he you always going to be down. And it's Jesus said that. John 16, spiritual you are. Faithful you are. Satan. And you said it. You say, that's his job. He don't stop trying to get at you. First and right. Second, Satan is going back and forth. We can divide. Super spiritual person. He's looking for that cheek or that crack in your arm. That levee that broke New Orleans. It wasn't a hurricane. It was a levee. That you have placed above God. Yeah. Whether it's family, whether it's your home, whether it's your job, you know, that's how you that is based on that thing that you placed above God. And humble you put yourself in always exalting God, always being led by what the Word says, what God, what the Holy Spirit is coming to do. And are you going to have challenges? Absolutely. Yeah. But you're in a better position to deal with them. So that's the way I have learned over the last few years, over the last, this lesson, this series of lessons that I've had, is, you know, make Jesus Lord, deny myself, and to be led by the Spirit. And if you can do those things, you'll have more success. And we get out, when I do my own understanding,
amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Basically, we are out of time, but I just want to add just a couple of sentences. And one of the things I also found out, and that's, I think we both were exposed to that, is not allowing people to take time off with you, too much time. I'll say too much time, you know, because people
time
take up your time. Huh?
Time thief.
Yeah, kidnap your time for the same thing that you already told them what to do, that God said to be best, and they come back and kidnap your time some more. And so we have to be careful of that too. You know, because our time, it's a pastor time, a leadership time, our time as a believer, no matter who you are, it's precious, you know. And we want to make sure that we're doing what God, the Lord, has told us to do. Amen.
Hey, you know, Brother Ray, so, in that vein of time ran out on your cowboy.
The game ain't over yet.
It is now.
I was trying to get off of here, and I should have got off when I started to say, okay, let me get off of here. You know, I get an update because I got it on my tablet and everything like that. And I'm like,
yeah.
Man, really? Yeah, it's okay. They must have changed the whole overtime thing. I thought they had to score a touchdown to win. Now I got to do is kick a field goal. Really?
Well,
really?
It depends
yeah.
on.
Yeah,
you kick a field goal.
Yeah, but they used to. But they used
Elson
to be
not,
a field
goal. Here's what else is not going to say.
Amen. What? Okay.
I'm not going to say no overtime.
Yeah, amen. All right, so Brother Kiel,
yeah,
you said that. Since you mentioned that, because I was not going to talk about football. You
oh,
told
man.
Me that in prayer.
I can't. Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. That wasn't very godly. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, go ahead, close it out, bro. Yeah, you good, bro. You good. It's all, you know, we brothers, man. We brothers. It's okay. You know, but I didn't wonder about it. You guys are sick. They don't know I'm getting a lot of texts because I took down quite a few. But it, hey, look, you have to pay for things you do, right? All right. So,
yeah.
Anyway, go ahead and pray us out, bro.
Who, Elson or myself?
No, you.
Oh, okay. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship and around your I thank you for these brothers and those that are listening in today. I pray that something that we said, Father, had sparked something in them, Father. For the unbeliever, Father, something we've said, Father, that makes what must I do? And Father, I thank you for Brother Tony as he goes through his studies. Father, we pray that the peace of God will be upon him. Thank you, Father, that his ears are open to the attentive, that he will return to you. And Father, we thank you that there will be stress, strain, and struggle. Lift up the people that are listening on this call. We thank you, Father, that they will be hearers of the word. They will be doers of the word, Father, and not just hearers of it. Lord, we just give you all praise. We give you all glory. We give you all praise. And we thank you for the upcoming month. We thank you for this holiday season, Father. We lift up those that are less fortunate to us, Father, we pray that there will be no depression, Father. No stress, strain, or struggle, Father, to compete to buy gifts and go into debt to do that, Father. We thank you, Father. Mm-hmm. Your word says that, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. Father, we stand on the word of the living God. Father, we come against depression. We come against oppression. We come against suicidal thoughts. We come against sickness. We bind it up now in the name of Lord Jesus, and we loose the love of God, the healing virtue of God in our life. Your characteristics in our lives, Father. For the word says that you are love, that God is love. So we thank you. Thank you for loving us so very, very much that you gave the very best gift that anyone could ever give, your son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And now we thank you now. We thank you for the many that will be saved and living and set free. We thank you for those that will be healed now, Father.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you. Again, you've been listening with Christian Speak Talk Radio. This has been R3 Real Men. Real talk, real life. Amen. And y'all continue to have a blessed rest of the afternoon, and hopefully the Redskins will lose. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right.
That ain't much to hope for.
Right, exactly. It's okay. But, hey, you know, you reap what you eat those things against us. You know what I'm saying? You always going to sow more. You're going to reap more of what you sowed. I wish I had time. I don't have time.
Oh, man.
I have time because I want to go deep. to him, but I ain't going to do it.
Oh,
hey, Elson, we might have to call a special session just for him, man.
Just for him, yep. That's all. That's all. But it's okay, though.
Oh, man.
All right, fellas. God
hey,
bless
man,
y'all.
Thank,
have a good
God bless you, man. Thank you, brother.
God bless you. All right. Take care.